Hi, everybody.
So budgeting, I have a clicker. Look at that. Okay. Trying to create PowerPoint around budgeting was a little bit of a test. but I decided to sort of go through my PowerPoint, my slides sort of go through the process that I think people should go through in the process of budgeting. But before I do that, I want to talk about this group of people using the budgeting aspect of IT, security, et cetera, as a way to educate the production teams. Nothing draws the attention of a line producer or a production manager into focus, more specifically, than a cost and a budget line item. And as soon as they're told they're responsible for that line item in a budget, they actually want to learn about it and how can they make it cheaper, how can they make it disappear, how, you know, all those things. And so this is one way to bring training to that management team on productions is through the budget. And I highly recommend trying to create a standard budget for your company that you would issue to your productions that you can use as a tool to train the management team of those productions. So where to start? I mean, oh my God, how to budget for this? There are two checklists to take a look at, and they're online, and it's the CDSA's recommended best practices, and it's the MPAA's best practices. Both of these basically outline what we should be doing, and in order to do those things, we need to put dollar and cents beside them. Soon, the CDSA has actually been working on sort of an example budget. It's by no means the budget because there's no two productions that are the same. You pay different rates in different places. You need different things for different productions, but it is a checklist, and it will soon be up alongside our best practices as a tool for you to use. So you have a checklist. You know all these things you need to do. The checklist, actually, you also sort of need to educate people about policy. That comes in educating them about the budget. But now you have to think about your actual, like, what are the parameters that you're budgeting for? Because there are no two teams in this room that have the same parameters they need to budget for. We have a lot of things in common, but a lot of things that are different. The first is, you know, if you're talking about a production, how visible is it? I mean, if you've got Tom Cruise working on the streets of New York, you have a big visibility problem. Honestly, Leonardo DiCaprio at the top of the mountain outside of Calgary was not a problem. No one was following us there. So even though we had a major star, we didn't have sort of physical perimeter problems. And we didn't have internet security problems too much in the sense that we couldn't even get our information out of Calgary, so it was very hard for anyone else to get in. The other thing is the scale of your budget. I mean, unfortunately, budget scales have a big effect on how much we have to protect, and also on the visibility of the project. You know, little movies on little budgets don't draw very much attention versus big movies on big budgets do draw a lot of attention, and so you have that much more to watch out for. Geographic location. The geographic location of where you're going to work also has a big effect on what you need to do. These are three places that we worked in last year, New York City, Berlin, and Ushuaia, the most southernmost city in the world. Different laws, different crew, different cultures, different styles of working, all of those things affect how you have to approach protecting the perimeter and therefore budgeting for it. And then what kind of infrastructure are you going to be dealing with? Are you on a major studio lot? Lots of security already in place for you. You've got you know, gated security, you've got key card security on every building, you've got cameras everywhere. Or are you in a little house on a street in London where you've literally converted a cheap rental into a production hub? And then, of course, you could be have, you know, a mobile studio that's the Revenant just outside Los Angeles with no internet, even though we were within the studio zone. So all those different parameters. Oops. The other thing is, a lot of security is already in our budgets. And I discovered this both at New Regency on the corporate level as well as the production level. It's just sprinkled all over the place. It's not centralized. And because it's not centralized, no one's managing it. And because no one's managing it, you don't have this sense of a department, a responsibility, a central person to go to, et cetera. So, you know, we've been budgeting for physical security on every movie that I've ever worked on, and we've been budgeting for phone service, all kinds, from, you know, the network in the office to the cell phones, et cetera, the computer systems, the networking and Wi-Fi systems, and physical safes and security. All of these things have been in every budget since I've been in the movie business. It's just about directing the focus and how you're acquiring them and how you're managing them that needs to change in order to secure them. And so it's not necessarily a huge hit to the budget to increase security on all of these things. It's really about changing how you're managing them and bringing them under someone's focus in this new era of needing to secure them differently. This is the next slide. Different, and now the slides get really boring. Pictures are gone, sorry. We have more things to protect than we often discuss in this room. There's every contract. There's all the personal information of our employees and of our, depending on what country you're in, your vendors. There's the research and designs that constitute our chain of title of the what we've created. All of these things are confidential. We've traditionally protected them by having them in boxes and locked rooms. Now those boxes are on people's computers, not physically there. And we need to manage how they all get stored on our systems securely and in our possession versus store it on everyone's individual devices around the world. And how do we protect them in that space? And there are a lot of choices, we're hearing about lots of choices. There are lots of ways to protect them. You have to choose them, what you want to use, and then you have to obviously need to allow for them in your budget. Another one is regulations, which someone touched on earlier, a little teensy bit, but we haven't thought about personal information regulation at all. And suddenly, it's becoming part of the normal, every person's every day, they're actually now thinking about their personal information and is it safe? They're thinking about it in terms of their banking, et cetera, et cetera. Well, we are storing their banking information, their social security information, their home address, everything necessary to steal their identity. And we now have to look at how we're managing that. It's not all locked in the payroll accountant's office anymore. And so that's another aspect that it's information we've always been collecting. We actually have always wanted to protect it, but now we have to completely change how we protect it. And in changing that, we have to educate people and change where we're putting the monetary allowance. We've changed how we're communicating. We've always communicated. We used to budget $40,000, $50,000 for long-distance phone calls on an average movie. You know, just That was a big number. And it disappeared, and everyone was so thrilled. And now they're kind of pissed off that we need to pay for people's cell phone service again. Well, you know, it's a cost of being safe. So we're sharing information differently. We need to figure out how to store it safely, share it safely. There are costs involved, but it's more about changing the method than adding a cost. Managing our employees' information and onboarding them digitally versus on paper, then and then our perimeter. Our perimeter is like everywhere. And how do we manage that? How do we manage the concept artist in Hungary and the payroll service in Los Angeles and the crew in Germany and connecting all of those into a single network? And again, it's about deciding on how you're doing it. It's not necessarily an added cost. It's about changing where the cost is spent. So at New Regency, we've decided to create a brand new department on all our productions. We've added a top sheet line item. It's the first time I've added a top sheet line item to a budget form in probably 20 years. And it's the IT data security department. And because of adding a top sheet line item to the budget, we've created a new department head. And a department head has a certain authority on a movie production. It's really funny. If that IT person is buried as the 25th person in the production staff in the production department, they have no authority. You suddenly give them their own line item on the top sheet of the budget, and they're responsible for that budget. Wow, all of a sudden they actually get meetings with the production manager and time with the financial controller, and they actually get authority. And it's so funny because I haven't changed anything. I've just changed where I put it on a piece of paper. So highly recommend doing this. And we've sent this budget form out to now 4 line producers, and knock on wood, they've all accepted it so far. Anyway, we still have a few budget battles to green light to go. So, there is a new department head that I do believe is a new cost and definitely a change of mindset, and that's creating someone in charge of IT data security on a production. That is the one role that we've decided they can't do that and another job at the same time. A lot of the other IT-related jobs, they could conceivably, you know, your art department coordinator who's always been tracking clearances, always been tracking the assets, they could, in fact, be the data asset manager for the art department. Because, in fact, it's part of what they do anyway, is just focusing their attention and possibly giving them a little retraining. But the person in charge of data security on a show, that has to be it. It has to be their one and only job. It's too difficult. There's too many policies to create, manage, educate, et cetera. A couple people have recommended this, and I think this is a great idea. It's about training someone in each department to be the person in that department responsible for data management, data security. And make it data management. Smart management will make it secure. If you've created the right policies, then they're just learning how to manage the information the way you want it, so that they're putting it where you want it to go. You've secured that box. It's when they don't know what to do with it, and they're putting it, they're accumulating it on their desktop, or they're accumulating it, God forbid, on a USB stick, or whatever else. That's where you have the issues. But if you've created and trained them to store it and manage it the way you want it managed, then you can do all the security in the background without hindering them about it. So this is me trying to come up with a really quick checklist. Use our recommended best practices. It's a really good start. You don't need to budget for every single item in it. You have to look at the parameters of your production and compare them to these best practices and figure out what does and doesn't apply. Consider how you're going to manage mobile devices. Should you issue mobile devices? Should you use an endpoint management system and anyone who wants to use their personal device, ask them to install it? Or are you just going to let them use their mobile devices? It is a decision, but it's a pretty major one. At New Regency, we are issuing mobile devices to people we consider content creators. And ironically, the cost of those devices have proven to be less than reimbursing people for their phones. So if you have a policy of not reimbursing people's smartphone usage, well, obviously this will be more. But if you have a policy of actually reimbursing people for their smartphone once a month, then providing it and controlling it doesn't cost you any more than reimbursing them. So except for management, there is a bit of that. Choosing what services. And that's a really big deal, and it takes a lot of research, and you go to a lot of these meetings, but choosing the right services and then budgeting for them. How you're going to store information locally and in the cloud, those services. There's a lot of talk about being completely in the cloud. I wish we could be completely in the cloud. When you're working in Ushuaia or in Calgary or even at Pinewood Studios, you cannot be in the cloud all the time. So we do need local and cloud solutions. Do you create your own communications? Do you allow people to use their personal email, et cetera, or do you create an email domain for the production? Again, New Regency's decided we are issuing email domains. And we're also issuing, we're looking at, there's Synchronize as a place to communicate. There's within Office 365, there are ways to communicate so that you can keep communications internal to the production rather than out on everyone's individual communications platform. You have to make sure the software licenses are all legit. Another reason to issue devices is that you then know that software is licensed, but making sure that those are all budgeted for. Physical security. This is part of educating the physical production team. It's a larger area we have to secure. We, for ages, secured the hot set. And sometimes if we're building a really cool set, we're securing that offsite set, or if we have expensive set deck, we're keeping security there. But we have to think about all the other places that really need some kind of security, because it's now, it's the art department. You don't want people walking in and out with smart devices. You don't want them. You need security in areas that you've always just let people roam freely. And so it's about changing the mindset of that. And it's probably the same security guy, and he has one less donut and one more walk around. It's not a big change. It's about turning their attention. On the set, teaching the security guards about identifying who should or should not have a phone on set, who should or should not be taking photographs on set. So it's like ID badges that say photography allowed or no photography. That doesn't actually change the cost of the budget, but it is allowing people to monitor and keep tabs. So physical security perimeters have changed. And then backup storage and archives. Part of securing our information is not losing our information. We need to really think through how we're storing it during production, how we're going to back it up in case of a failure during production, and how we're going to archive it for long term so that we can access it easily later, no matter how things change. And so that is an area that, again, we hear about lots of different services here, and you have to choose which one, but you really have to make sure that that's budgeted and allowed for and thought through at the early process. So I think that people will have access to the PowerPoint, but I've created, this is literally an extract from our budget guidelines. I've taken out sort of account numbers and stuff, but this is what we hand as far as a checklist, that our line producers are responsible for putting a dollar amount in for all of these items in all of their budgets. So that's it.
Thank you so much, Lulu. That was amazing. If you'll take a seat, and if the other panelists will please join the stage for our next session.